Hello guys, welcome to another webcast. Today with us we have Raul, we have Nun Canes and Octavio Militão. They are from SharePoint Online. Raul, please, the stage is yours.
Thank you, Bruno. It's Militão. Raul is not studying. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you all for making time in your busy agenda for attending this webcast. We are pleased to have this amount of attendees. As Bruno introduced Militão, with me, Nuno and Raul, and the aim of this webcast is to cover SharePoint administration tasks. We'll take an overview covering the options you have available in the admin panel. There are these ones. We will split between the three of us, hopefully leaving time at the end for some Q&A. First topic would be Site Collection Ribbon. This is the first panel you get by accessing SharePoint Admin Center, where major settings would be new properties, sharing, and recycling. I'm switching to a test tenant to give you this overview. Okay, this is it. From new site collection option, we get a form where some options are not changeable after the site collection gets provisioned. You should give it a title and configure the URL, choosing sites or teams at your choice. Language should be configurable for your user experience afterwards. However, choosing a language make the site structure naming permanent in that language. For instance, internal default list columns. Next, you get to choose a template. Get familiar with the default SharePoint Online templates first in order to choose the best fit for you. It will save you site structure design time. For the custom, make sure it is a custom template supported by SharePoint Online. Time zone settings is one of great importance as well, as it will be your site time zone, regardless your user's location. You will have to choose a site collection admin. This will be added to the site's owner's permission group, having full control in this new site collection. Regarding the server resources, if you're using out-of-the-box SharePoint Online apps, you should have it in default 300. Back to the ribbon. Delete is itself explanatory. If you delete a site collection, it will move to the recycle bin, where it can be restored within 30 days. Going back to the ribbon, we have also properties. You can get an overview of current site collection properties. However, you are able to get more of these properties by accessing the site collection itself and to its internal settings. Sharing is a major topic in SharePoint. It gives the product's name. This sharing option is to set up this external user's acceptance. Just before you can set up sharing for a given site collection, you have to configure your options at the global tenant level, right here. Here you'll have if you want to allow external users that are already recognized by your SharePoint Online, if you want your users to be able to invite external users, and if you want to allow your users also to be able to create anonymous guest links. I would like to point out that on this additional configuration, you are able to determine which domains you are allowing or restricting external users to get invited, and also You may restrict on this option here that a given sharing invitation to be only accepted by the email address to which the external user's invitation is to be sent. This prevents the invitee to entitle other uninvited users providing his own invitation. Going back to the site collections. After this configured, at the tenant level, you are able to select the same options here at sharing, as you can see on your screen, differently for each site collection. At this dialog, you'll get also the current sharing state. You'll have to set up the server resource quota. You might want to increase this resource quota depending on the customization you have on your site collection, such as customized apps or workflows. Okay. So next topic would be settings. All the admin settings you have here are documented and pretty much explain themselves. However, I'm addressing the settings to the impact it may have on your tenant. Here you can, going back again to the test tenant. Here you can hide the OneDrive for Business and sites from the app launcher right here to all your users, this style and this one. Regarding the site collection storage, toggle between auto and manual. There was already a webcast on manual storage configuration. Regarding OneDrive for Business, you'll be able to deliver your users a new UI or the classic one. This would be a classic user experience. You also can set this for all other SharePoint Online lists and libraries experience. Setting the advanced admin experience will give you all the available interface options. As an advanced administrator, you should always keep it this way. You'll have Office Graph that will disable Office 365 solutions as Delve experience for all your users. Regarding the social collaboration, you'll be able to choose between SharePoint Online Newsfeed and Yammer. Get familiar with Yammer, as Newsfeed will get deprecated soon. I would also like to point out IRM. IRM configuration. In order to allow your users of protecting documents with information rights management, you'll have to have it set it up here first. For starter site, if you want to allow your users to create team sites without having to ask you to create a new site collection for them, you can set it up here and they'll have a new site link in their personal site. On custom script, configuration has a high impact. And you should refer to this article. You have the URL right below here, and this would be it. So you can get related to all the features that will get unavailable for your users, such as subsite as template, HTML field security, sandbox solutions, and so on. Your users can get a preview of all the new features that get deployed by regular updates, shall they are not too conservative to change. You also will be able to limit SharePoint feature that attempt to connect to other services at SharePoint 2013 workflows, and prevent your users from sharing and collaborate on databases running in the cloud. At last, you should always keep in mind, it got away from the settings, but we're going back. Okay. You should always keep in mind that SharePoint Online being a tenancy with physical shared resources, all settings changes should expect delays. At most of the features runs on timer jobs. Settings may not always be effective by the moment you click OK. For the next subjects, I'll have you with Raul. So Raul, jump in.
Thanks. So I'll be talking about the next subject, that is user profiles, starting with properties. You can set up user properties on this menu, and you can where you can add properties given the context of your company or whichever other context you have. You can add the properties that you have, or use the default ones that we provide, and remove them. It's regardless the customer context. These properties are then crawled and can be searchable throughout the SharePoint site, whichever functionality you may have to it. Finally, these properties can be also synced from a local Active Directory that you already have. Remember that the properties to be synced from local AD to the cloud to Office 365. There are some points that you have to take in consideration. If you follow the link on the TechNet that we provide here, you'll have, for example, some properties that are synced from local AD and some ones that aren't. Keep in mind that syncing properties for your users from a local ID goes through at least three stages. The properties go from your local ID to Azure, from Azure to SharePoint, and finally from SharePoint to site collections that you have. This process can take some time, and expect from our experience at least around 48 hours till there. Another subject on the user profiles that can be managed is the audiences. This is important if you want to define which content is viewable for which audience. Audience is a group of users which you can define for some specific users or some other SharePoint group users that you have. And you can define them to view content, and some other users to view some different content on the same functionality you have. It's different than permissions. You use an audience to define which content is viewable, whereas you use permissions to define which site or list or file is accessible, for example. They are compiled once a week via a timer job. So any change you make or any new audience you create may take up to 1 week for it to be accessible. Do not expect it to be accessible right away as soon as you make a change or create a new one audience. Next up is some other settings that we have here on user profiles that are important. You have the user permissions, which is important because this is where you define for a user or groups of users the create personal sites, for example. That permission is needed so users have news feeds and OneDrive, for example. Another one is regarding those OneDrive, the personal sites for the users. You can set up My Sites, and you have a setting here that is important. That is the My Site secondary admin. This is where you can define an admin as a site collection admin for the personal sites of the other users. This, for example, can be helpful when a user is duplicated in some way. Next up, we have the term store management. In the term store, you can create groups and terms to define any information needed given your context. These terms can be used throughout SharePoint in fields, for example, to register information of any kind, even to define navigation, for example. You need to define a term store administrator in order to create the groups and the terms. And you can define for each group its own manager and contributors, so they can change the terms and term sets without having an admin to do all this. If you already have a taxonomy on your end, you can import it to the term store management here via a CSV file. This term store management is mirrored in every site settings on a SharePoint site. And we have records management. This is where you can define a connection to send documents to a record set. A record set is where documents are saved in a more official manner, with, for example, an information management policy that you can apply on this record set. And so the files are sent there to be saved on a more permanent manner and with on a more official manner than the regular document libraries that you have on SharePoint. For example, you can define when and where you can save these documents here, and even how you can copy the files can be copied to this records, or even moved completely to these libraries. And next up, I'll give the word to my colleague Nuno, so we'll continue.
So, hi guys. We are going to start with InfoPath. So, for those who aren't aware what InfoPath is, basically InfoPath is an XML form creator. You can create forms on InfoPath within minutes without any needs for additional developments. So, starting with the options, the forms on InfoPath can be displayed on the browser by using browser-enabled forms or directly on Microsoft InfoPath. Basically, this option that we have available comes enabled by default using the user the browser-enabled form templates. So the users will be able to see that templates directly in the browser. So if they disable this options, they will view the templates directly into Microsoft InfoPath in this case. So for the exempt user agents option that we have in here, this configuration is used to make indexing on InfoPath faster and easier in this case. You can specify which user agents to exempt from receiving an entire web page to index. This means that when a user agent you have specified as exempt encounters an InfoPath form, and this form will be returned as an XML file instead of the entire web page in this case. So by default, it already came with this agents. You can play with them by adding or removing some of them. Please remember that this feature will only be available on E3 and on E4 licenses. And some a topic that has been going on around for some time, it was regarding the InfoPath supportability. In this case, InfoPath 2013 will be supported matching the lifecycle of SharePoint Server 2016 in this case. So, jumping on into the next topic, it will be Secure Store. Okay, so Secure Store is a shared service that provides storage in order to map credentials that you might want to keep within your system. So consider the secure store as your password keeper for external systems that you need to integrate within SharePoint environments. So on the image that you can see on the presentation, I've created a very simple example where I want to access an Azure SQL database, and I'm storing the credentials, the username and the password directly into the secure store, so it will be available for other connections to use this set of usernames and passwords to connect to external environments in this case. After defining the username and passwords for that specific target application, you will not be able to view the user or the password associated with this, with the specific entry that you had it. So, jumping into the next topic, it will be business connectivity services. This service on SharePoint Online provides and enables SharePoint Online to bring data from external systems like OData services or an external or an external database. Just to remember, the secure store will be a very useful in this topic, because since we are talking about integrating with external systems, it's very important to have the set of credentials in order to log in into that systems in this case. So, jumping on into detail on the options that we have available. So, we have manage BDC model and external content types, where you can manage the business data connectivity models related with the external data that you want to use on your SharePoint. As an example, I used one of the OData web services that we have on Northwind's data model. I've imported a BDC model regarding orders where I was able to import directly into SharePoint by using an external list and mapping the external content type that I've used in the business connectivity services. So, jumping into the other options. The other options are just available for apps. And the first one is to manage connections to online services. So this option is available in order for you to be able to add online services that can be used to apps. So like I mentioned on the previous topic, you can use the credentials that you have stored on the secure store to log in into a specific service. In this case, I used a service on my tenant. It could be some other service like weather services or any other that you would find online. So, manage connections to on-premises services regarding apps. The main differences is that since we're talking about an on-prem environment, we can choose on the authentication wherever, if we want to create, to use a credential that is stored on the SharePoint on-premises secure store that we can use to log on to these specific services. I'm using a local service that I developed. And you can on the internet facing URL, since we are talking about an on-prem environment, you can input the URL directly into here, because since we are talking about an on-prem and it's server side, it will be useful to have a specific address that can be shown outside of the network. So regarding the authentication, you can provide the authentication of the secure store if there is a need to. So, jumping into apps, in here we have apps is a really big thing in SharePoint, and we have build some attention around it. So I will be reviewing the options that you have available for the apps one by one. So starting with APP Catalog, if you click on the option that we have available on the SharePoint Admin Center, you will be able to create a new APP Catalog. Like the name says, this catalog will be able to provide an exact list of the SharePoint apps that you currently have installed within your tenant. If you want to purchase apps, you have the SharePoint store that you can use. Basically, there are some free apps that you can import directly into your tenant, and there is some paid apps that you would like to buy if you want to. So if we end up buying some apps for our tenant, you will get a dashboard with all of the apps and the licenses that you have currently available. I only have free ones installed on my tenant. I'm sorry for that. But yes, in here you will have all the information that you will need to maintain that apps in this case. So regarding the store settings, we have the APP purchases. You can limit the users to be able to buy apps or not. In this case of the first options, you have the APP requests. Basically, this is a list of all the app requests that the users have made. Basically, if a user encounters some app on the store that maybe it will be useful for the company, they will make an app request to the administrator. And the last option is regarding the office apps that we have available on the tenant. And basically, this option will allow you to enable or disable them while opening documents in the browser. So you will get on the monitor apps, you will get some analytics regarding the licenses that you currently have and where do you have them installed, and to review some errors regarding that the apps that you have installed. Probably it will be a very, very useful option in this to keep monitor of the apps that you have. Regarding the app permissions, in this case the app permissions list that we have defined, it's not for site collection, but it's for the whole tenant. So the specific apps will have access to all the tenants to all the tenant data. So be careful on what are the apps that you have with specific permissions in here in this list. So jumping into the next topic, it's the configure hybrid. So I won't be jumping in too much detail on this option, but we can configure. We can configure an hybrid solution of OneDrive and integrate with an on-prem SharePoint, basically, and share some site features. In this case, you will have to perform the configuration that you have on the office admin panel, and on the on-prem side, you will have to configure the hybrid solutions too. So you will end up using Office 365 OneDrive on an on-prem environment completely integrated with both platforms in this case. So we pretty much covered all of the topics that we have on the SharePoint Admin Center. It was a pleasure for us to have you all on the webcast. So if you have any questions or doubts, please let us know.
Okay, guys. Awesome presentation. Very good topics approached over here. So as I said on the chat window, this will be available on the blog. If anyone have a question, please type it now, or I will put the poll in order to get the evaluation of this great webcast. I will want to invite you guys to make another one in the future, if you want. I really like what you have done on this one, so feel free to get another one in the near future. Okay. Anyone have any question on these topics? I don't think so. So was everything self-explanatory? It's very specific on the topics. So we'll close it. Okay. Thank you, guys. Awesome presentation, and I see you next time. Bye.
Bye, guys. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.